And as we talk today, we're talking about remembering who you are. And that introduction said that not just when you're here, but wherever you are, wherever you go, remember who you are. You know why we got excited here, right? Because everything that we've been doing since the moment we walked in is elevating and lifting up the wonderful name of God. We've been talking about his splendor. We've been talking about his majesty. We've been singing about his compassion, his love, how good he is. And when we start singing about it, thinking about it, we can't help but get full. And so if you're going to have this kind of response when you're out in the middle of it, what you've got to be doing is thinking about God's goodness. You've got to be praising and celebrating on the inside, on the outside. You got to be opening up your mouth, talking about God, you are good. You reign over that person that just pulled out in front of me. No, they saw me coming. You reign over this aching body that act like it don't want to line up. You reign. Got to be celebrating the bigness of who God is, because you are in him. You are his child. He'll show enough take care of you. Amen. Hallelujah. I see some of you see the scripture, Judges chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. I'd love for you to turn to that in your Bibles. It's, as you know, an Old Testament scripture that is dealing with, really, we don't want to necessarily get into the thick of what's happening in Judges, but that Old Testament scripture illustrates the truth. It talks about the truth of what we're talking about as God's people, how we are to live remembering who we are, remembering who he is, so that we don't get caught up in the world system. Is God's desire that your life be a life blessed and overflowing field, so that you bring glory and honor to him, so that at your appointed time, he can look at you and say, servant, well done. He has a specific mission for each one of us, and our job is to carry out that mission to its fullest, to not quit until it's completed. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. Amen. We may transition from different positions, but you do not retire from the kingdom of God. There is no vacation from the kingdom of God. Amen. No. You don't leave the kingdom when you decide you're going to take a break, go get some rest, go get some of that refreshment, go see something new. No. You still a child of the king. Just because we can't see you don't mean God can't see you. Amen. Oh, they back at home. They don't know what I'm up to. We don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in anyway. And all we can do is look at you and shake our head and say, well, wait a minute, now what you doing? You belong to God wherever you are. Didn't we talk about him being the omnipresent God, that there's no place that you can go to get away from him? No matter how far you fly, no matter what sea you're up on, God is there, right? And so you and I have to remember who we are, so that we can live our lives to the fullest. Amen. So Judges chapter 2, verse number 10. How about this? If you don't mind, can you just stand up with me? Let's read it. Let's read it together. Read it together. Judges chapter 2, beginning with verse number 10. Let's read. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the peoples around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Wow. Oh, let's keep going. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them. Just as he had sworn to them, they were in great distress. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for how you minister to us. And we thank you, God, for what you've spoken today. And our hearts stand ready to receive. As we just simply think about God, remembering who we are in every circumstance, in every location, that we are a people redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, called into victory. We thank you in his name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So go back to verse 10, if you don't mind. Verse 10 says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors. So the generation that is talking about is Joshua and all of those who had come out of the wilderness, crossed over the Jordan, and began to experience the promises of God. Joshua, as you know, was the leader that God had selected after Moses died. And Joshua was given charge to lead God's people into the land that God had promised to give them. It was the fulfillment of a word God had spoken to Abraham. Many, many years prior, God had said to Abraham, I want you to leave your country. I really want to make you a nation. And he promised through Abraham that all of the world would be blessed through him. Real quickly, when God made that promise, he was not saying that all of the world would be blessed through Israel. Can I tell you what God was saying? He's saying that you, Abraham, because you are faithful and obedient, I am going to send the Savior of the world, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, through the people of Israel, but he is going to be the blessing. Amen. Jesus is the one who will be a blessing to all the nations. Listen, y'all looking at me like y'all don't believe that. You can look at Israel and see that they haven't been a blessing to all the nations. In fact, you can look at their history and remember that many times it was all about them. Don't get me wrong. God still loved Israel, but he had said to Israel, you are supposed to be a blessing to all the nations. Don't get so caught up and think that it's all about you. Okay. We'll let that linger for a while. Amen. Amen. And this text talks about how God had delivered them out of the hand of slavery, had brought them into a land that he promised, a land that was flowing, as he said, with milk and honey, a prosperous land, and was beginning to bless them. And this text says that after Joshua in the entire generation that was with Joshua, after they died, look, it says another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord. Wait, what? How? Not knowing the one who opened up the Red Sea. and delivered your mama, your grandmama, your granddaddy out of the hand of slavery. How do you not know that? Because somebody was too scared to shout about what God had done. Somebody kept it to themselves about how God had delivered. Start claiming that they pulled themselves up by their bootstraps. Start talking about how mighty and powerful their army had been, and how they routed their enemies, and how they were such great soldiers and warriors, and they were so powerful, and they forgot to say it was the Lord who delivered us. In other words, they were given the wrong history. They were given a history that God was working through them, but leaving out the primary character of history. It was God who was moving in their circumstances and routing their enemies and protecting them while they were walking in obedience. Even in the desert, God kept them. Shoes not wearing out. You think it was the type of leather that you had? Lord have mercy. You know, some of us, we got cars that got 780,000 miles on them. I know I exaggerated. That's called hyperbole. I wanted to get your attention. And God been keeping you in that vehicle with all of those miles, protecting you and covering you and providing for you. And instead of you talking about how God kept you, you trying to talk about, yep, this is the kind of vehicle you need to get. What? Yep, you got to change your oil every so many miles. Really? No. What you don't understand is that God was keeping you in the midst of your lack of provision to show you that he provide for you. But you got to give the right history. You got to talk about the right character. That person is God, who has provided for you and for me, and for, he has made ways out of no ways. He has opened up doors that we didn't even know that were there. And when you and I walk through the door, stop taking credit for stuff God doing. Because I did this and I did that. Really? Come on, y'all. But God. And when you fail to give the right truth, the right perspective, what happens is people miss God. You have a generation that grows up that does not know who the Lord is, nor what he has done for you. Amen. I was very blessed when I was growing up to have a mom and dad that drug us to church, kicking and screaming and complaining. It didn't matter. In the home in which I grew up in, it was not optional. No, you can't stay at home today. I don't care if the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cowboys come on at noon. What? Have you lost your mind? It wasn't optional. And so there's a psalm, a verse in Psalm 22:9, where it talks about how God delivered the psalmist from the womb, and even at when he was young, even at his mom's breast, he made him trust him. So if you come from one of those backgrounds where your parents made you know the Lord, you ought to give God thanks and praise. Hallelujah. What they did for you was they put some prevention in your life that you would not grow up and not know the Lord, nor what he has done for them. Amen. They were dragging us to church on Sunday talking about, God been too good. We didn't have much, but we didn't have sense enough to know we didn't have much. Because all we knew is that breakfast, lunch, and dinner, mama was saying, come to the table. And when we made it there, the food was good. Nope. I did not know about McDonald's. I did not know about Burger King. I did not know about Long John Silver's. I did not know about any of these restaurants. What? You mean you got somebody else that will cook for you? No, we were not going out to Sunday dinner. We were coming home to Sunday dinner, gathered around the table. Get out of my message. She back there trying to help me. She said, go put them church clothes up. But I had church clothes, and then I had daily play clothes. And I had to make sure that I took my church clothes off because I knew I wasn't going to get another set until Easter. But it was a gathering around the table where we got to appreciate what God had given to us and how he was blessing us. In reminding that it was his hand that was keeping us. It wasn't because they failed to talk about who God was. It wasn't because they failed to engage us and take us to be a part of the worship experience. They made it their business to say that this is too important. You don't grow up not knowing that there's a God who loves you, who created you for his glory, and who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sin. Because you know you bad, Richard. Ooh, it was true. Ooh, that made me want to dance right there. God, ooh, y'all just don't know, man. Boy, God, good, man. Whoa. See, here's what that does for me. When I think about how bad I was and how God kept me, I'm reminded that the same grace God gave me, he can give other folk that I look at now and say, man, them rascals bad. And his spirit reminds me, yep, you were. Which means that I can't watch them too long because he said, yep, you were. And I got to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And then it helps me then to begin to pray, God, the same grace that you showed me, the same patience that you showed me, the same protection that you placed around me, God, will you place it around them? The stupid stuff that I did, the mistakes that I made, God, that you kept me and protected me from, God, will you now protect them from the stuff that I keep saying? How you gonna do that? And he'd be like, the same way you did. And I'm reminded then to talk about God's goodness and to keep him as the central character of my history. You do know that some folks have worked well with that word, with history. History, his story. So when you start talking about your history, start talking about his story in your life. Amen. And when you start talking about his story in your life, it will protect not only your children, not only your grandchildren, but those who are around you in your vicinity. It will protect them from growing up and not knowing who the Lord is. And it will help them to understand that what God has done for you, he is willing to do for another because he has no respecter of persons. Amen? Amen. I bet I'm out of time. Help him, Lord Jesus. Help him, Lord Jesus. This story, and I love for you, if you haven't read Judges, the book of Judges, I'd love for you to take some time and kind of work that into your schedule. But this story, this section that we pulled out where it says a whole generation forgot about God because the other generation did not keep it at the forefront. The result of forgetting about God resulted in them pursuing other things that they were not intended to pursue, which then caused God to be angry with them because they were supposed to be in a covenant with him. And then it caused the protection that was guaranteed for them to be taken away. When you read back through that, just that portion of scripture, it talks about what happens when you forget who you are and you allow other influences to come in and dominate your life. That while you are in pursuit of stuff that God did not intend for you to have, that it results in you living in misery. And because God loves you, he will allow your misery to persist until you turn back to him and cry out to him. And so I want to encourage you to go take a look at really, just look at Judges 2, and hopefully that will be enough to make you say, man, let me read the next chapter. In the next chapter. Because in Judges, it describes a people who have forgotten who they are. And this is a plea, a cry to return to your God. Verse 12, it identifies what takes place. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger, because they forsook him and served Baal and Ashtoreth. So again, it just describes what happens when you forget who you are. Are you able to show that clip for us, Miss Deaconess Robinson? I want to show you a clip, and we're going to close. I want to show you a clip from one of my favorite movies is The Lion King, the original. I think it was like the 1994 edition or something like that. I think that's the year it was released. But this to watch is about Simba, who was Mufasa's child, his son. Unfortunately, it's been out so long now, I'm not going to have any spoiler alerts. So if you remember the movie, Simba was a little bitty fellow. He had an uncle by the name of Scar, who actually wanted to be king over that particular land. Scar knew that he couldn't beat his brother Mufasa he couldn't take it from him. And so he came up with this scheme whereby he enlisted some hyenas to disturb a herd of antelope or whatever they were. They were a bunch of running animals that stampeded, right? He enticed them to go in and disturb the peace of a herd that was grazing. And he had Simba stand kind of in the middle of that so that Mufasa could come and rescue it. The idea was in part that Simba die, get rid of the heir, and then we'll take care of the big dude. But it so happened that Simba didn't die. Instead, Mufasa dies trying to rescue Simba. In fact, Scar has a hand literally in killing Mufasa. Because when Mufasa climbs to the top of the rock, he looks at his brother and he says, "Help me." And his brother says, "My pleasure." And then he allows his claws to come out. And if you remember, he sticks him such that now Mufasa has to let go of the rock. And he goes falling. I watched the movie, man. You didn't know if that was The Matrix or Back to the Lion King, right? So Mufasa falls down and he dies. And then Simba, thinking that he has caused the death of his father, listens to the advice of his uncle. And his uncle says, "They will never forgive you for what you have done. You killed the king." Simba says, "What? What should I do?" Scar says to him, "Run, Simba, and never come back." And even that was wrong because he had the little boy set up with the hyenas was supposed to kill Simba, but they couldn't catch it. Right? So now Simba has left what was supposed to be his inheritance because at the death of his father, he would become the next king. He has left his inheritance running because he feels like what he has done is not forgivable. That they would never, ever let him off the hook. And so now he's out living a life having forgotten who he really is. This scene that we're about to watch is where he has been encouraged by Rafiki the monkey. I guess that's what he is. That tells him, "I knew your daddy for a long time." What was it again? Oh, thank you. Whatever that is. It's a Rafiki. That's good help. Thank you. Thank you. But this scene, I just want us to watch this clip because this clip shows us again what happens when we forget, but then what can take place when we remember. Amen. Let's watch it together and listen.
Who are you?
I thought I knew. Now I'm not so sure.
Well, I know who you are.
Shh, come here. It's a secret.
Enough already. What is that supposed to mean anyway?
It means you're a baboon. And I'm not.
I think you're a little confused.
Wrong. I'm not the one who's confused. You don't even know who you are.
Oh, and I suppose you know.
Sure do. You're Mufasa's boy. Bye.
Hey, wait. You knew my father?
Correction. I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, But he died a long time ago.
Nope. Wrong again.
He's alive. And I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki. He knows the way. Come on. Don't dawdle. Hurry up.
Hey, whoa, wait, wait.
Come on. Come on. Stop! Look down there.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
Simba, you are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. Remember who you are.
No, please, don't leave me. Father! Don't leave me.
Wow. You and I need to remember who we are. Okay, I got to go back to the introduction. The introduction said that. You remember the introduction? The introduction said that all of what you see going on right here, where we're getting excited about who God is, what God has done for us, the shouting that is coming out of us is reminding us that God has been with us, watching over us, keeping us, sustaining us, delivering us, that God is faithful, that he has never left us hanging, that his promise is true, that he said, I will never ever leave you nor forsake you, that I got your back, that when your enemy comes up against you, I'm still with you. Even when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear any evil, for he is with you. Right? That was the introduction that said that you've got to keep remembering who that is, because when you're in the midst of this world, because in this world, you're going to have trouble. Don't think you're going to walk out of here and not have trouble. Don't think that God, just because you celebrate, you're connected to God, that you're not going to have trouble, because the enemy of your soul wants to destroy your faith and wants to stop you from doing God's will. And so he does everything that he can. He uses whatever he can to stop you from being who God has called you to be. And you've got to remember who you are. You are God's beloved, saved by grace, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, washed and purified. You are not who you used to be, because he has cleansed you up. Amen? Yeah, you are forgiven of your sins. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are trusting in Jesus Christ. You've got to remember who you are. That no weapon that has been formed against you is going to prosper. Why? Because you are in Christ and Christ is in you. Remember who you are. that no matter how dark it gets, remember, you serve the one who is light. And when he shows up, he's going to lead you in paths of righteousness. Remember who you are. Always. That you don't listen to the whisper of the enemy. But thanks be to God. He has placed his spirit on the inside of us. And his spirit on the inside of us takes his word that we are hiding in our heart. And he takes that word and he makes it alive in our experience. Why? Because the word living in us is alive. And it is powerful. And it accomplishes everything God purposed for you to do. So do not be discouraged. Do not be weighed down. God will take care of you. God will. He will. He will deliver. Amen. Listen, when a resource is taken from you, don't trip. Don't trip. They promised they were going to do so and so, but they hadn't showed up. Don't trip. It's just a resource. Remember, you know the source. The source says this, the cattle on what? 1,000 hills. Wait a minute. He didn't say the cow on 1,000 hills, which would be 1,000 cows. No, no. He said the cattle, which represents a grouping, a gathering, on 1,000 hills belong to him. He like, if your resource disappears, don't trip. Remember, I am the source. And I can resource you any way I want to resource you whenever I get ready to resource you. I was trying to quit, but y'all don't make me. Oh, glory. Come on now. You got to remember who you are. And so then, how do you remember who you are? Who you are? Set your mind first on things above, not on things below. Amen? Oh, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. Uh-oh. So, man, will you take her a mic? Don't get mad. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. Sometimes you got to turn CNN off. Sometimes you got to turn MSNBC off. Sometimes you got to turn Fox off. Sometimes you got to turn NBC off. Sometimes you got to turn Facebook off. Sometimes you got to turn Twitter off. X, I know it's X. Sometimes you got to turn all that stuff off. Because that stuff is looking where? Down here. You got to elevate. Our God reigns. Our God is King of the nations. Our God is large and in charge, and all things serve him. And so you got to elevate your eyes and begin to look to the hills where your help comes from. And then you got to finish it. All your help comes from the Lord. Wait a minute, don't stop right there. The maker of heaven. Uh-oh. Yeah, don't stop. Don't stop. You got to finish that whole thing, right? Yeah. Because when you're thinking about that, oh, wait a minute. He made the heavens and he made the earth. He didn't ask for anybody's advice. Did it all by himself, right? So first, I'm thinking on things above. And then I am letting the word of Christ dwell in me richly. So I'm thinking about my Father who is in heaven. I'm thinking about my intercessor, my Savior, my Redeemer who is at his right hand. I'm thinking about the heavens above where all all of life and creation bows before him. And then I'm letting the word of Christ dwell in me. Now, here's where it gets good, because you can't put a box around the word of Christ. Why? Because John 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was what? With God. And the word was God. And then in verse 14, it says, and the word became flesh. And so Jesus being the word, Jesus being Christ, when you start thinking about the word and dwelling on the word, all of what God has given us by way of revelation, you ought to be dwelling on it. I'm not just talking about dwell on the red part. You know, we got sophisticated where we put the words of Jesus in red. I'm not talking about just dwell on the red parts. Because when you go to Colossians chapter 1, it says Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He created all things, and all things were created by him and for him. He was with God in the beginning. So when you start thinking about dwelling on the words of Christ, you got to look at all, as Deacon Drain would say, 66 books. Amen. You start to dwell on all of that because it reveals who God is. And as you are dwelling on the word of Christ and allowing it to be resident in you, what is happening is he is renewing the way you think. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is renewed when you allow the word of God to get in you, and you allow the word of God to work in you, and when you allow the spirit of God to illuminate, make plain, and then he is bringing about transformation and change in you. But now you are remembering who you are because he's revealing who you are. You dwell on the word of God, he reminds you that you ain't what they said you are. Amen. He reminds you that no, you are the apple of my eye. Oh, glory. Yeah. So you do that. As you do that, he begins to remind you that you are special. You've been called. You've been delivered. You've been saved. You've been sanctified. That your name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. That you will be among those who will rule when Christ comes back again. That he has a place for you, and that because of your faithfulness, he will say to you, servant, well done. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up and let me make you ruler over many things. You remember that you have a destiny and a destination. That this world ain't your home, so you don't become attached to it. You remember that you are a child of the King. That means you are royalty. Making up this stuff. These ain't just words I'm making up. This is who you are. When you start realizing that you're royalty, you don't just let people treat you any kind of way. Amen? But you're remembering who you are. The only way you can do that is you remember who he is, what he has done, and what he desires to do. Because the work that he has begun in you, he has promised that he will complete it. He will finish it. So you can remember that I belong to the one who has promised that he'll be with me until the end. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.